Hello and welcome to Temporal Culture War, where we dig into what the hell was going on in America in the early 2000s, while we watch one of television history's most maligned properties, Star Trek Enterprise. I am Clayton Ashley.
And I am Maddie Lipchansky.
And we are here to discuss episode 10 of season 1, Fortunate Son. How are we already here? For Thanksgiving week of November 21st, which is the day it aired. Technically, Thursday was the 22nd. That's Thanksgiving. But it couldn't air on Thursday. It had to be pushed to Wednesday.
I mean, I can't imagine Lawrence, Kansas, our fictional viewer, pulling up his truck into the living room to eat Thanksgiving dinner with his family.
You know what? Okay.
And propping the dashboard television he's got on the mantle. They all gather around to watch the adventures of Archer and his beautiful crew.
It occurred to me, this is a bit of a spoilers, but like the first thing we see in this episode is football. And it like...
That's right. That's for Lawrence.
It's Thanksgiving week.
It's Thanksgiving and Lawrence, Kansas must be appeased.
But anyway, some shit happened in the real lives before the TV show.
the real life.
I'll go through music really quick because there's not a lot of change. We are still in the Mary Blige era, Family Affair. It'll never end.
No, it's actually still number one to this day.
It's still number one
to this day. That's why you're always hearing that song. It's a Family Affair by Mary J. Blige at all times.
It was interesting to see You Got It Bad by Usher moving up to second. Something,
ooh,
some change, I guess.
America's got You've Got It Bad, it bad.
Yeah,
bad.
Which I think the best example of that is that, oh no, what's this? How do you remind me? It snuck up to number 5.
Oh no.
Nickelback is inching up higher and higher. But that's pretty much it for music. Movies also, nothing new. A certain children's movie is on top. I can refer to it as the spoof that me and my siblings made, Harry Pooper, when we were young.
Wow, you've well and truly gotten their asses.
I think it was called Harry Pooper and the Stupid Stone. I don't know if we made any more than that, but
Can I punch that up real quick?
Yeah.
Are you and your siblings open to notes?
Yes, absolutely.
23 years later? Great. Harry Pooper and the Kidney Stone is right there. It's right there.
A lot more to do with that, I think. We didn't
it's
really
a little
know
more
what
direct,
we were doing.
I'm just sort of like in the gastrointestinal system over here mentally. I'm sort of like zooming around the small intestine thinking about stuff that could work for it. So just, you know, in the future, if you guys have any other jokes you want to run by me before you make a VCR mini DVR video or whatever.
It was literally on VCR, yes.
Yeah.
So Monsters, Inc. was like number two, and this was just making me think about, like, I guess Thanksgiving really is the week for children's films.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't that recent of a trend, surprisingly. I kind of looked in this like this chart of Thanksgiving week box offices, and it was really only like a trend that kind of got started in 1999 with Toy Story 2.
Really?
And then 2000, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. That's the Jim Carrey one.
The Jim Carrey one, yeah. I saw that in theaters.
This year, you know, we had these two big children's movies. Obviously, it was depressed somewhat by the fact that everyone was still scared to go to theaters.
Well, yeah, what if Osama bin Laden flies an airplane into your multiplex in fucking Nebraska? It could happen.
It could happen.
They hate us for our freedoms to go to the movies.
So 2001 was a dip for this trend. But after that, I mean, you don't have a Thanksgiving weekend that isn't less than like 30 million box office. And I was just, I don't know, surprised it was actually not that old of a thing.
That's also like, I think, due to like the sort of death of the family movie, you know? Like, there's definitely children's films still, obviously.
Yeah.
But there used to be like a film for the whole family that hit all the things, right?
Yeah.
And now instead we just have adults movies that are technically children's movies because they are made for children. And we are stuck in a state of infantilization.
I think we did start getting the split of the, like, this is the movie that's just for kids.
Yeah.
Moana 2. Right now you could go see that for Thanksgiving. But then we're also getting Gladiator 2. So it's like...
Yeah. Moana 2, weirdly echoing the around Thanksgiving release of Mulholland Drive as a... I just learned this from listening to Blank Check. One of the only other movies to be made from a pilot to a series that got turned into a feature film.
Wow.
Moana 2 and Mulholland Drive. Those are the two. And they came out around the same time.
A Venn diagram.
That's the time. November is when that kind of movie comes out, I guess.
So television, also just kind of thinking about Thanksgiving. The show was moved to Wednesday this week, so it was kind of up against some different things. A Thanksgiving episode of Ed. Also an episode of That 70s Show called Forgotten Son. And I don't know if that was like riffing on the same thing somehow.
Yeah, I'm sure they're... I mean... They're both riffing on, I guess, the Creedence song.
Right.
I think it's a Creedence song, right? Is it the original? Yeah, it's Creedence. I was like, so, is that a cover? No, it's the original.
Makes more sense for That 70s Show. Makes less sense for Star Trek, but...
Yeah, we can get to this, but the Star Trek episode definitely working backwards from the title.
Yeah. So then, other than that, I just got some news, which, again, I'm just kind of focusing in. I mean, you know, U.S. and 21 other countries did vow to spend billions in Afghanistan... which I'm sure happened.
And they did.
The same story.
You love to see promises kept.
It literally had this sentence where it's like, they were dropping food packets in Afghanistan, but, you know, after they dropped bombs.
Yeah, also, like, I feel like I don't want food dropped on me directly.
Yeah, I have to imagine.
But, you know, who am I?
If it's, it has to be designed to survive that impact, I don't know how good that food is going to be. But yeah, I guess the big news, I mean, again, it's Thanksgiving week. So we had a Thanksgiving Day parade.
Huge.
And just to point out a couple things you could have seen floating along, Jesusaurus Rex. We got a Pikachu.
Sorry, did you just say Jesusaurus Rex?
No. The Kraft dinosaur.
Jesusaurus. The macaroni and cheese. Jesusaurus Rex.
You don't remember, Maddie?
I thought you said Jesusaurus Rex, implying there was some sort of Jesus... T-Rex, which would have been obviously beautiful and would have been a sort of great encapsulation of the time if we were given a sort of Jesusaurus Rex, but it makes way more sense that's a Cheesosaurus Rex. Cheese. It is made of cheese. Okay.
And yeah, I mean, I guess the Macy's Day Parade was always a thing that's just like, here's a brand, but big.
Yeah.
Big.
They'd love to do that.
But the other thing I noted was some human beings you could see there included the WWE wrestlers like Triple H and also Tim Curry.
Beautiful. What's Tim Curry doing there? Yeah. I mean, was he Santa Claus in the remake of Miracle on 34th Street, or am I making that up with my brain?
I think that was it, because he was there just in like kind of fanciful winter costuming, and that makes much more sense.
No,
now.
It was fucking Richard Attenborough. I'm out of my mind. Don't listen to me at all. Those are like two of the most different vibes you can have on a guy in human history is Richard Attenborough and Tim Curry. I don't know where I got that. Maybe I just remember Tim Curry as Santa.
At some point. I'm looking back at his filmography. What was he doing around this time?
I just found a photo of Tim Curry in a Santa outfit from a TV show he was on called The Naked Truth. And he looks insane as Santa, and he should not be Santa, and is too scary as Santa.
I think I found it. He was Scrooge at a Madison Square Garden Christmas Carol that they put on.
Okay, I can see him as Scrooge. I can see him getting Scroogey in a live show, undergoing an inscrugening procedure.
Yeah.
No, I can see that way more than I can see him as Santa Claus.
I think he would be a good Scrooge.
I think he would be a good Scrooge.
But, you know, that's it. There's not much news in a Thanksgiving week. Nothing happened of particular note. So we can get right on to...
Will this be airing on Thanksgiving week?
I think this is going to go a little bit into December, unfortunately.
Okay, that's fine. We're going to take a little Thanksgiving break. So I hope everyone listening enjoyed their Thanksgiving. And that's totally fine. And, you know... And just reminisce last week. What did you do for Thanksgiving? I had a great time. I was on turkey duty this year, and I baked a challah. So that's my Thanksgiving. You want to jump into this episode?
I would love to know what also didn't really happen this week on Star Trek.
My God, what a fucking... Nothing burger episode. I gotta say, I feel like we're in the real season one doldrums at this point. Like
the low
real low point of the show, which again, this is made after 9/11, right?
Mm.
We are now into the episodes that were filmed after, maybe written before, but certainly filmed after. They had to stop that one day on set and watch 9/11 happen on a television last week. This one, kind of a turd, unfortunately directed by LeVar Burton. I wish he had some better material to work with. Poor LeVar. But it's called Fortunate Son, and it stinks, and I hated it. How did you feel about this one?
No, I was trying to even think about last week. I feel like I found some things I could enjoy out of that episode. Like, there was a fight scene that had some, like, fun makeup effects.
And yes, there was a guy ripping, like, his fucking face off. It was cool.
And, like, the possibility of interesting sci-fi, it didn't go anywhere with it. But, like, you know, it was there. This, I just can't think of almost anything that is worthwhile in this episode.
Yeah, so it's interesting because I feel like the episode starts, right? And uh-huh. You're watching two guys, this guy, Captain Keen, and this first officer, whose name is Ryan, I believe, is his last name. They're throwing a football across, like, a cargo bay in a big, in a shipping ship.
It's a cargo ship, is the word I'm looking for.
So they're playing football by throwing the football very slowly across this very big room. And I'm like, this is kind of fun. Lawrence Kansas, our viewer at home, loving it, hooting and hollering. He's at home. He's brining a turkey. He's watching his portable television. He's in the truck, by the way, brining the turkey. He's got the big bucket in there. He doesn't leave the truck. It drives in. He sleeps in there in his bedroom in his house in the truck. Just drives it right up the stairs. But they're playing football, and you see, like, oh, and this is the stuff where. This is the thing. I have like face blindness for all the fucking people on the ship who are not Archer. Mayweather. Yeah. Travis Mayweather. Also was raised on one of these cargo ships, right?
Yes, and I think in the pilot,
there's like an interesting bit where they're like, they've got this guy who's like from the first generation of people who like grew up on spaceships, right? So there's like interesting, like what I consider sort of like non-prequelitis things you can explore within a universe, which is like, this is like a big inflection point for how human society functions, like in your science fiction, right? Like I'm in the middle of pitching a book right now. So I'm like thinking a lot about world building and how it functions and like what the point of it is and what you can do with it. And I'm very anti like lore, and I'm very anti like describing every little thing down to its last nut and bolt detail and like leaving some shit open up. But the whole point of building a big world is that you can go zoom into a little corner of it and talk about something about the human condition in a microcosm using like a fictional setting. So what we've done here is like we've got like these fucking space rednecks, basically, right? Like they operate the big truck in space, right? Which is like kind of interesting because they hinted at this in other Star Trek shows that there are still people who operate outside of Starfleet on ships as like cargo shippers, like Sisko dates one in Deep Space Nine. So there's something interesting about that. And like the sort of like at this point in time when like they're sort of like getting rid of capitalism very slowly and like these people's relationship to space travel and Starfleet and Earth society. And like, there's a lot of interesting meat there. And the episode like kind of glancing talks about it. Like, these are people who have like a way of life that they don't want to change, and they're experiencing an amount of friction with Starfleet about it. But then they're just like, never mind. Let's tell a really stupid story about terrorists or something. I don't know.
That was even could have also been something where they mentioned that they've run into these aliens before.
Yes.
And that made me think like, so wait, you've probably, humans have been interacting with aliens beyond Vulcans for a long time now, you know, at least decades.
Right.
And as much as that very first episode made it like, oh, Klingons, who are they? We've never met this alien race. They're like these, you know, redneck truckers, they've interacted with aliens. It's not unusual for them, which is interesting.
Who kind of look like just green Klingons, by the way. So speaking of the Nausicaans, these guys are playing football and then their talk, it gets interrupted. There are Nausican pirates have attacked the ship, and they got to go deal with that. And we launch into our beautiful theme song that I love to listen to.
Talking about lore, I just couldn't stop thinking about the Studio Ghibli film.
Oh, Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind. Nausicaans are, I think about the way the one guy in that movie in the dub, or no, it's in the regular, in the subtitle one, just goes, Nausicaa. Oh, it's very good to say.
Much better content to talk
about. Yeah. And I keep wanting to say Nausicaan, but I think it's Nausicaan.
Yeah,
but anyways, I wonder if they're named, but those guys show up in Next Gen, they show up in Deep Space Nine, they show up in Voyager. Yeah.
Okay, for once, they actually didn't just be like, and then they never saw them again.
No, they are always like pirates or like heavies or like henchmen or something. These guys.
Okay.
They are one of the races that is evil.
Yeah, they're one of the pirate races.
You know there's pirate races.
What are their hobbies? Pirating.
Pirating, what is
their culture?
Stealing.
Pirating. What is their music?
Terrorism.
Pirate
shanties. Yeah, sure. No one's playing like a weird turtle shell around here. So we go to the theme song. We go back to the Enterprise. Our friends. They're on a mission. They're like placing subspace amplifiers in space so they can, you know, talk better to their friends back on Earth. Fine. They're like, you know, making like a wire, like a Wi-Fi mesh in space, I guess. And they get a call from the Admiral back on Earth, who Archer notes that it's like late in the morning or like early in the morning there. And I'm like, how do you know what the fuck time it is?
That's a good point.
California, you're not even near Earth. You're so far from it.
Are they on Earth? Do they preserve Earth time on the ship in spite of everyone?
I mean, it would make sense to keep like, even if they're running like a 24-hour like crew clock, to keep like some sort of time, or else everyone would be going insane, right?
Yeah, and I mean, we're, you know, completely sidestepping how relativity would affect all of this, but yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. These guys are traveling at light speed, throwing a football, and it's going slowly and not everyone getting squashed into a single point. Yeah, like
they've aged away.
That's a really good point. Anyways, Wait a minute.
Star Trek isn't realistic.
Hey, how's the gravity work on these ships? Gravity mesh. So they get a message from the Admiral saying that they gotta go to this ship because there's been a distress call. The ship is called The Fortunate, which they figured out from the title of the episode that they wanted to use, I assume. They go look for this ship. Travis is like telling everybody, like, oh, I lived on one of these. Like, here's what everyone on it is going to be like, you know? They ask some question about, like, oh, they're like, it's really slow. Yeah. It only goes, like, 1.8 light speed or, what, you know, warp 1.8 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that they're not really armed. And they're like, hey, if you're running into pirates all the time, why are you not armed? And Travis is like, well, people would be too bored and shooting stuff all the time, which is the worst explanation I've ever heard for anything in my life.
Yeah.
Like, do the writers know that they're in charge of the rules of the universe and they come up with a better reason that's more interesting than we don't want people to, like, I get it. You don't want them to have guns because it makes the episode more interesting.
It could have been like a thing where, like, Starfleet doesn't allow civilians
to have powerful weapons.
And then there's tension.
There's no Starfleet Second Amendment. Like, yeah, like, we get there and they're like, we would have been able to fend them off if fucking Starfleet let us have phasers.
Even opens up a thing where, like, these people don't like Starfleet, but it's so, like, why? They don't really give good reasons. They're just kind of like, it's a cultural thing. I don't know.
They also kind of refer to the ship as the cargo ship as part of Starfleet. There's, like, very, I don't know. The way they talk about, like, Starfleet is very porous, and I don't quite understand it.
It's very confusing.
And it means
still
both Earth and also all ships from Earth, but also not this ship, but also kind of this ship. I don't know. Anyways. But they get there, and they find that, like, all the systems are down, the hull is damaged, and that all the Nausicaans are gone. But the ship doesn't respond to the hail, but they read life signs with their magic life sign reader.
They're very weird about it, where it's like, yeah, shit's broken. We don't care. Go away. And I'd somehow forgotten where this episode went, but I was like, oh, are the Nausicaans, like, holding them hostage on their own ship? I was like, something exciting? No.
I mean, something mildly exciting. Like, this is the most exciting part of the episode, because they get there, right? They take an away team. Was it Mayweather, Archer, Reed, and Phlox all go over. And here I am, rubbing my hands together. Perhaps it's Phlox o'clock. Sadly, not really.
Does he say a line in this beyond like that, this scene?
He's got like a couple of lines and they're all very much like, and now I am repairing your injury, sir.
I'm a doctor.
I am the doctor and I am here to doc.
I put the makeup on to say I'm a doctor.
That's right. I've been in the chair for 19 hours to speak three lines and stand there. So they get there and the guy, Ryan, that was throwing the football before, they say hello. And they say that the other guy with the football, Keen, the captain, was hurt in the attack. But they, you know, they got it. They're like, get out of there. We don't need you. We don't want you. Whatever. Phlox is like, I'm going to treat this gentleman. Travis is like, yeah, he's better than your doctor, your piece of shit doctor that sucks on your stupid ship. Let us take him. And they do. And Archer's like, we're going to send a repair team over to help fix up the ship. And Ryan's like, fine, I guess.
Maybe upgrade it. We're going to help you out.
Yeah, we're going to make your ship faster. And Ryan's like, well, I fucking guess so. But he seems real. I got a secret, which you might wonder to yourself, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what the secret is. And then they tell you what it is 3 seconds later. Because he just walks away. And they've just got a Nausicaan prisoner in like tied up in a chair, Casino Royale style. And they're just like, keep saying to him, like, what's the code?
Yes.
And you get a real good shot of this guy's nasty face.
I thought they kind of looked like Predator.
They kind of look like Predator. They kind of look like the aliens from Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, that's a good point.
it's like the loop has been closed finally.
Those are pretty good aliens, honestly.
Though,
the little head things that moved around.
The practical effects in that movie are pretty good. That's a one day bonus content watch. I think that's a good
hell yeah.
Movie. I love that movie so much. It's a better Star Trek property than this one.
90% of Star Trek.
yeah, including this thing. So we're back on Enterprise. Ryan is like, Ryan and Mayweather are broing down. They go to the transporter, and they're like, "Holy shit, you got a transporter!" And Mayweather's like, "Yeah, I want to use it." And the guy's like, is it true that you can feel yourself on both ends for a moment? And Mayweather's like, why do you think I want to try it? Which is crazy to me. I don't want to experience that level of existential dread. You maniac.
I'd say that if that's true, I feel like that is a small point in the favor of you don't die. But it's also a different kind of nightmare.
Well, it is one in the you don't die column. The first evidence to you don't die that I've seen.
Fair enough. It might be the first.
I think it might be the only evidence of you don't die.
Well, I feel like there's a whole teleporter-based Hoshi episode later in this season I don't even know when it is, but that'll be exciting to talk about.
Yes, there is definitely like a teleporter centric bit later, this I recall. But they're chowing down on the food from Chef that they love so much. And they keep talking about Chef and how cool he is for a reason that I cannot suss out.
I remember this actually in the book I read about the series, that they wanted to hype up this character to some point reveal him.
Yes.
And I guess, like, spoilers, they don't until kind of doing it in the very last episode.
They do it in the last episode in the most confusing way imaginable, in a way that makes almost no sense. It's so stupid. Because it also, yeah, whatever.
I was going to say about the scene, the food. I heard this, I don't know where or when, a while back, that was like, in movies, the actors eat the food. In television, you'll notice they almost never eat the food, and it has to do with what budget they have for the food. And I was like, this food doesn't look especially appetizing. And I feel like he does take one bite of his steak, and that's it.
Yeah, I actually have a friend of mine makes food for television shows. So I wonder if it's different now, but she makes some good-looking food.
Yeah, fair enough. But I think that's partly maybe the thing is, how good does it look all on television versus how much
that means
can you
they've hired
eat?
A stylist to do it and they care about it and it's important for whatever reason. But they're talking about how they both grew up on the cargo thing. This guy, Ryan, says he was born on a ship called the North Star. And Travis is like, oh no, that ship that got destroyed, basically. Ryan survived it, but his parents were killed. They keep walking around the ship and they're like, hey, do you want us to upgrade your warp drive to make your ship go faster? And Ryan is like, no, because it is more pleasurable to go slowly.
I couldn't enjoy playing space football in the hangar if we went too fast.
Yeah, and also earlier hinted at in the episode, this is how you get babies on ships. It's because everyone's born out of their skull and they start having sex.
Mayweather says, "That's how I was born."
That's how I was born.
The other thing about that this eating scene is that he also just says directly to Travis, "So why'd you abandon your family?"
Oh yeah, Travis is like, "I left to join Starfleet instead of like joining the family business," and Ryan is like, "You betrayed them."
You betrayed them. It's like they, again, this feels like a sketch of a scene where we're just kind of getting the non-subtle points of it. Whereas yeah. I think they could have given us almost just anything to hang on. Like this, why does this guy have such a problem with why Travis did this? It's like they explicitly lay out why, and it's just such a nothing burger that you don't care.
Yeah, this guy, like all these guys are like so attached to like the cargo shipping lifestyle.
Why?
Which they just like, say sure. I don't know. It just feels half finished. So they're back aboard the Fortunate. T'Pol is like, "Hey, did you guys disable all the internal sensors?" And then she goes back to Enterprise to do a full scan. And Ryan or Archer and her get Ryan to his office there. And he says, "Hey, do you have any non-humans on the ship?" And Ryan says one of the classic Star Trek things where he's like, "Yeah, so-and-so's got a whatever skunk with like the name of a planet in front of it." And Archer's like, just gives him like the 1-800 come on now face. He's like, I know you're lying to me. And then he's like, okay, we got a Noskin tied up in the basement of our ship. And Archer's like, you shouldn't do that anymore. You should hand him back over. And they have an argument about jurisdiction. And the guy's like, "Oh yeah, but you don't have any like authority over me. You're not my dad." And Archer, Archer like calls Tucker on the phone, and he's like, "Get rid of all the stuff we just gave them.
Make their ship shitty again.
Hey, can you make their ship broken? Thank you." So Ryan obviously acquiesces, or pretends to, and allows Archer back onto the ship to go see this captive fella. But he is tricked
so easily.
So easily. Like, this is like if Archer's supposed to represent like the midpoint between Kirk and Picard, right? This is just sort of like neither of them, like just completely guileless, like no shrewdness to him at all. And he just gets like dumped into a, what is it? They're like, they go into like a wrong area of the cargo bay. And everyone starts shooting at each other.
Suddenly a guy like steps out of the corner with a gun.
Yes.
And they're all just like, "You can't take our prisoner."
Yeah. And then they blast a hole in the side of the thing, run through it, and then detach the bit of the cargo bay that Archer and pals are in.
Space. They shoot at the Enterprise a couple times. It doesn't matter because, again, it's not a good gun. But
yeah. Well, they disable the Enterprise's sensors, I think.
Oh, that's right. They run into air.
Yeah. So they blast them. They disable their sensors. They warp out of there. But they're slow, shitty warp. That sucks. Tucker gets back to them. They get back to the ship, and they're like, "We're gonna find the Nausicaans. Get in front of this international incident that's basically happening now." So what's it called? They're back on the Fortunate now. Ryan is doing more interrogating of the guy in the chair, and keeps saying, "Give me the code." It turns out he wants the code for the shield frequency of the ship, so he can go destroy it.
I feel like this came up some other time. It's like in this world, shields have a cheat code, and then you can bypass them.
Yeah, so like my understanding of this in Star Trek is that all the shields have a frequency, right? So like they're like light based, so they're sort of like they are waving at a frequency. So if you can tune your phaser to go at the same frequency, it'll go through it. Which actually, it is actually scientifically fairly sound. They're both electromagnetic things, and they are waving at the same frequency, right?
It's a lot better than gravity plates.
When they hit it, instead of like, so if it's going like, and you try to like go in like this, but if they're going the same, then it'll just zip by it. I just did a really good visual explanation of it with my hands for Clayton.
just for me.
If anybody wants to mail me $20 in the mail, I will shoot a video of myself and send it to you. So, anyways, they get the code.
There's not a lot to talk about in this episode.
That's right. There's not a lot going on here. They get the code. One of the crewmen is like, "I don't know about this," because you almost killed them trying to get the code.
Right. Okay. And this is what I wrote down at some point that
yeah,
I feel like all the humans on this ship have interesting head shapes. I didn't notice this on the captain who gets knocked out at the beginning, but he kind of looks like James Woods, but like
he does
a little larger.
That's right.
It's like a 105.8 scale James Woods.
fully comic book accurate James Woods.
So they're
there are some interesting looking guys. There's some real character actor faces.
And one of the guys who's the angular looking one, he's the one who's just like, I don't know about this. Should we really, we're good now. Let's put him in a escape pod. Cause we got what we needed from him.
Yeah. His name is Shaw. Hold on. I have to like, I'm doing it. I'm sending you a fucking, this picture looks like if you go on the Memory Alpha and look at this episode and look up Shaw.
Oh yeah.
This looks like a screenshot from fucking,
Mass Effect.
Yeah. I was like, what's this game with Shepard? Yeah. It looks like a Mass Effect screenshot almost exactly. He looks extremely not real.
This is a combination of both his incredible head shape but also the just not very good quality of this show.
Yeah, I might have to make this like the episode art just so people can see this gentleman, this shepherd ass guy. So why does he look so much like a video game man? Okay.
That's good.
It's crazy. So he doesn't like it, but the guy Ryan is like, "No, we got to start kicking ass, taking names."
He's like, "No, you idiot. If we put him out there, they'll find him and then they'll come and kill us."
Yeah. Yeah.
We have to keep our torture secret.
Yeah. Enterprise catches up easily.
No problem.
Tucker remarks to Mayweather that they're like, "Oh, it's crazy that we're also taking on a Starfleet vessel." And that's when I got very confused about what Starfleet is. But it's fine. It's fine. But like, Mayweather starts talking about how like, oh, but my dad would be so mad if we did this to him. But like, you know, times are changing or whatever. But it's just very funny that like, that's where he goes about it. It's like him trying to like, it's like them trying to show Mayweather relating to these guys, but all they can come up with is like, I'd be so mad if I was being chased down just for committing some crime.
Yeah. He goes and sits in the principal's office. He wants to talk to Archer about it. And he's just like,
yeah,
you know what? Why is it our problem? Like, why should they be able to go into this, torture an alien, and then go fight go destroy the people who harassed them?
Yeah. And then I think Archer says that it's against like the Starfleet law. And it's like, is that ship in Starfleet? What is Starfleet? What is their jurisdiction? What the fuck are you talking about?
Did I get confused here? Does he also call the Nausicaans humans by being like, just because they're not from Earth
doesn't make them less human? Yes, I caught that as well, and it confused me. But then I remembered that it is kind of in the Trek shows, in modern Trek, it is kind of a shorthand for person.
Is it humanoid? Are the humanoid races, or is it some other?
They're
word
all human. No, he says human. He says human.
Right. But I feel like the classic
doesn't make them less human. I think he means person. I think.
Yeah, it was interesting phrasing, but maybe you know. I hope. I don't know. It's hard to say what aliens from another planet would be, but
no,
they've already gotten to this point of being like, we're all the same.
We're all the same, even though these guys come from pirate planet and they're all pirates.
Yeah.
So Archer is like, hey, man, do you have any fucking other complaints while you're here?
Very passive aggressive.
Very passive aggressive. Tells Mayweather to get out of his office. Meanwhile, on the Fortunate, they have chased down the Nausicaan ship. It's like on an asteroid. And not only were they fooled by this prisoner, there's also a base there. So now the foolers have become the fooled.
Also, again, very, very easily fooled.
Very, very easily fooled. There's just a Nausicaan base on this asteroid. But Ryan, now insane, is like, I'm going to destroy the whole base with my no guns. And everyone on the crew is like, hey, man, can you not get us all killed? But before anyone can really argue about it, they get attacked and their ship is dead in the water completely.
Yeah, this was a real fuck around, find out kind of thing.
They barely quickly. Even fucked around. He like considered fucking around. Like he developed like a poll to maybe consider the fact that we should begin the process of beginning to think about fucking around, and found out so fast. Enterprise shows up and they call the Nausicaan base. And the Nausicaans say, like, well, we get to kill them now because they attacked us. And you should get out, you should get out of here. Yeah.
For pirates, pretty official. Like, they're just like, this is just an investigation. We're rescuing some of our compatriots.
Yeah, like we have
nothing to see here.
They have a prisoner. We're allowed to kill as many of these guys as we want now, actually, because they attacked us first. And then Archer's like, we actually have better guns than you. And then Alskin is like, well, I don't want to die. And you guys can leave if you turn over the prisoner.
Also a pretty like straight threat that like, take a look at this ship. We're going to have more of them because humans are here and whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Do you want us to kill your ass extremely? So then Archer is like, okay, I have to figure out how to end this episode now, please. because somehow the episode has been going on. This is like already like we're past the fourth commercial break, man, or the third commercial break. We got to wrap this up. So he goes to it's for an episode that like barely anything happens. There's so many like stupid plot machinations here, like way more than usual. Anyways, Archer goes to Ryan and he's like, hey, can you just give them the fucking prisoners so we can all leave and they can show more ads for Target? And the guy Ryan is like, no, we got to send a strong, you know, message or whatever, or they're going to keep pirating us from their pirate base because they're pirates.
I do want to... Just to visualize this for the people who I made the right choice and did not watch this along with us.
Yeah.
That this is going on kind of during a firefight and Archer's just talking to him and he's like taking cover and the Nausicaans are like cutting through a door and it's very strange that it's just like mid firefight. He's also just having a convo with Archer.
Yeah. It's really good. And Archer's like, you don't have the high ground here. You got to like, you tortured this guy basically. And all you're going to do is get more people killed, including probably every other person operating a cargo ship in the area, including Travis's parents. Fine, I guess. He listens to reason suddenly out of nowhere.
He listens to Travis because they were trying to build this up and didn't do it all an effective job of it. But he's just like, he gets on the phone and he's like,
yes. Oh, yes. Sorry. I skipped over the part where Travis got on the phone for that last bit where he said, you shouldn't have tortured this guy. And also, please don't get my parents killed.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, you're right. I finally decided to change my mind.
Yeah. I talked to the one guy that I had dinner with, which honestly, this is kind of how people work sometimes. You got to have dinner with them once before you can ask them to do anything for you. This guy surrenders. I assume they don't show the prisoner going back. They just cut to Archer hanging out with James Woods, who is awake and walking around and holding his back, going like, "Ooh, my back." And Archer's like, okay, we will take this guy to jail for you. And James Woods is like, no, he shouldn't be charged with anything. I'm going to demote him instead.
he can clean up the latrine. Also, I don't have a crew. There's like three people on the ship. Yeah, please don't take him away.
Please, I need him for football. There's not a lot of people on my ship, and I need him for football, and I just need someone to clean the bathroom. And we take care of our own or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And they just kind of like shake hands and depart.
He makes the hard sell on Archer to drink this like Zer whatever William whiskey.
Yes.
And I thought it might end up with the scene where you get to see more alcohol, alien alcohol. But no, it's just, he just keeps saying, you should drink with me. You should drink. He's like, nah, I'm busy.
I don't want to, actually. Yeah. And I think this is like, and that's where the episode ends. And they're just like,
who cares?
Who gives a shit? Oh, and the captain is like, oh, well, when we get, we'll fix the warp drive to make it go faster. Why the hell not? That's crazy that we don't want to go slower. That's nuts.
Yeah, the captain's like, why would I want to spend more time with these people?
What do you mean my first mate said that we shouldn't go faster? What the hell are you talking about? So that's the episode. And yeah, I just feel like there was like a rich vein of, like there was, again, the Enterprise problem is they find something interesting to talk about it and then write the world's most boring episode of television around it.
Yeah, we do this a lot, begging you to stay tuned for points when it does become entertaining television. Yes. And a lot of the times I feel like it's almost like a retreads of these similar plot lines, but just better.
Yeah, for sure.
Like now that I've seen the whole series and going back to this first season, like I remember an episode like this being better. And it's like, because there is one like this. It's
yeah, there's like they do this episode again later. So that's Fortunate Son. Do we have any other parting thoughts?
Well, I did want to say, this being a show, we appreciate our listeners who have been willing to interact with us on social media about it. Catches me off guard in a good way. I really liked Rebecca Brintbury sent in this thing on Blue Sky that apparently during the production of this series, the creative team designed a t-shirt that was riffing on the National Lampoon. If you don't buy this magazine, we'll kill this dog.
Yeah.
And so it's like a cartoon picture of Archer's little beagle.
D'Artagnan?
It's
one of the other musketeers. His name is Porthos.
Porthos. But it's like a phaser being aimed at a crying Porthos. And it's like, please watch Enterprise if the dog gets it. It goes hard.
It's really good. I want, if anyone out there listening in Radio Land has one of those shirts, I want it so bad. I would give some amount of money to have one.
And it really, I feel like, crystallizes the art team probably and how they were feeling about, like, they were doing fine. Like, I don't think, have major complaints with what the art team was doing throughout the series.
No.
But they're watching what episodes are getting put out and they're just like, please watch our show. We promise. There's it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
I also got this a lovely email, but it was at my work address. Please don't send things there. Eventually we'll have a place you can send stuff.
I think we have an email address.
Yeah. It's probably somewhere. We'll get that in the show notes.
It's it's literally just temporalculturewar@gmail.com.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Maddie. Mm-hmm. But Danny, let me know that Connor Trinneer and Dominic Keating had their own podcast and they would give behind the scenes bits. And one of the things that they mentioned, Danny pointed out, was that apparently the showrunners gave them like a studio note or got a studio note that they wanted a different live band in the mess hall each week.
Whoa.
Which I don't think that's appealing to Lawrence, Kansas. I think that's their attempt to appeal at the, because the UPN network was kind of, I think, shifting a bit to the CW.
Yeah.
And I feel like this might have been that urge of the studio runners to be like, well, it's got to appeal to the middle country, but it's also got to appeal to young hip people. So get a band in there every week.
That's so, can you like imagine it was just like, yeah, here's, we're watching Star Trek Enterprise and who's this in the mess hall, but SR-71 is here. Like, I just, that's so wacky to me. I love that.
They also just pointed out that there was a great UPN promo for the Enterprise. That made use of the calling.
Okay.
Here, wait, I can send this one to you. It kicks in at like 30 seconds.
Ooh.
Right?
Oh, this song. If I could, then I would. This is crazy.
It very 2001. It makes sense.
Yeah, it's the calling, wherever you will go.
They really, that's where they went.
That's buck wild. Yeah, that song came out in May 2001. A very au courant. Also, like, I would kill a person to watch this version of the show.
Exactly.
Like, I wish this was like a rancid like mall culture, you know, version of like 2001 America Star Trek, but instead we get like this dull nonsense for a season and then a bunch of seasons of 24.
And then the last, like the second half of the fourth season is like, oh wow, there could have been a good show here. And
yeah,
then
oh, canceled. Whoops, goodbye. Yeah. And we'll tell you who Chef is then.
Oh, actually, speaking of music, you said a friend of yours also had a Star Trek related bit of ephemera that is pretty amazing on its own, right?
Oh yeah, let me find the actual friend of the show, Dylan Roth, who has his own podcast called "Are You Afraid of the Dark Universe," which is very good. Is also in a band called No Jersey, and his old band, the Hell Yeah Babies, did a cover of the theme song from Enterprise. That if you can, I'll try to find the YouTube video and put it in the show notes because it is tremendous.
In the style of Rancid?
In the style of Rancid. Really important stuff.
I love the music video is also riffing on the intro to Enterprise with these like blueprints of various bullshit.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's extremely good.
I'll get a link to it in the notes there. as long as well as the thing you just sent.
Yeah, but we appreciate y'all listening. It's we do it for y'all, and
that's right.
At some point, we will have a Patreon where we can kind of house some more of this kind of thing. Maybe some bonus watches, Galaxy Quest, we've already thrown out there. So look out for that
yes.
in the coming weeks.
That's right. I hope everybody has a nice holiday season, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, we'll talk next time. For Temporal Culture War, I am Clayton Ashley.
And I am Maddie Lipchansky.
Bye.
Talk to you soon.